Kevin Keith here for the KNS Radio Network. Joining me today on the phone, I've got Frankfort Police Chief Scott Shoemaker. Chief, I appreciate you always making time for us.
Yeah, not a problem, Kevin.
I wanted to talk when we have something come up, not try to touch base every week. I know everybody's busy and everything, but a couple weeks ago, I full disclosure, live downtown, and everything is kind of magnified when it comes to noises and things being outside or stepping outside to smoke or just enjoying some fresh air. And it's kind of like I've been here 3 years, and I've got used to the trains, but one thing, right, it's kind of hard to get used to the loud cars. And I posted something kind of off the cuff a couple times over the last week or so on Facebook, and it just amazed me at the response I got from that. And then you had came out and gave some numbers about overall crime. So I thought it might be a good time to sit down and talk about this, because the response was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the response, that gets my attention too, Mm-hmm. A few people here or there and may say something, but, when there's, 60 plus, comments, I mean, it deserves for me to take a look and see, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, and looking at our numbers. And I know that, there's some comments on there, you just have to get a scanner and you'll hear all the traffic stops and different things going on throughout the day. I think what I see is that people have to realize that we can't be everywhere, first of all. I mean, we're, generally our patrol division is 25 officers deep, but I think about five or six are currently in some form of training right now. Mm-hmm. We're getting out there. I think the number, over 5,700 traffic stops, which, what that means to me is that, our officers, between calls could be doing nothing if they, not that we would allow that. We have a great supervision staff. They're out there on the road too. The only office jobs that we have at the police department are, the chief, deputy chief, captains over each of our divisions and our detectives, and they're out there, working too. So Right. Everybody, the majority of our department is on the street. We're out there sometimes, even our deputy chief and captain of special ops was out there on the street today to help, as they got a little bit, a little busy. So I think people, I'm okay with people, complaining. I'm okay with that. It's normal. It's part of what we do. I think I got a little irked at, saying that we're not doing anything.
Right.
And that's when I've got to take a look at some of the numbers. And I'll be honest with you, we've tried to go away from being a numbers-oriented department. In the last 10, 15 years, it was all about how many arrests you made, how many traffic stops you made. Mm-hmm. Those things kind of got you looked at, maybe for a promotion or for whatever. Right. It got to the point where it's all we talk about was numbers, and I wanted to get away from it. And so, over the last 8 months, this part of, 24, I haven't even looked at, really the numbers. And so, pulling the numbers Monday night between city council and Board of Works meeting, it's like, hey, these guys and gals are out there, they're working, they're hitting it, they're making stops. Crime is down, calls for service are trending down, and looking at last year's numbers. So I thought it was interesting, how much of those reportable crimes that we report to the federal government are down significantly in the same time period last year, which that can mean a bunch of things. From what I hear, we, because of our proactive, environment over the last few years, there's less people committing crime. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. Car crashes are down, and people are speeding, and I think at some point we have to look at the people driving and some personal accountability here.
Right. With the
driving, people are a lot of people are disrespectful and rude when they're driving down the road.
Yes.
They don't care about who they cut off, or they're everybody's in a hurry.
Right.
There's going to be the majority of those people are going to get away with it again, because we, the city cannot afford to have an officer at every street corner.
Right.
We can't, you know, we can't afford that. And I wouldn't be able to hire anybody if I had to have 100 police officers,
yeah,
you know, right now in this environment. I'm glad to be at full staff right now.
Right.
So I just want people, you know, call in. Like I said, we're actively, you know, looking for violations. You know, we could write a bunch of speeding tickets. You know, we could increase our speeding citations. And, you know, most of the people that we give speeding tickets to ask us if, you know, if we have anything better to do, you know.
That's the kind of
constant theme. But
sure.
I think from our conversations, you know, I think from reading some of the, you know, the comments and whatnot, we will, you know, what we call them is targeted patrols. If somebody comes in and says, hey, you know, this stop sign constantly, or this stoplight's being ran, or it's constantly mm-hmm. speeding on this stretch of road, we will add a targeted patrol. Our captain of patrol will add that, get it to the officers, and they will spend anywhere from, you know, 15 to 30 minutes of their shift patrolling just in that area and take turns throughout the night. That's what I would ask people to do, is to call in or hey, you know, give us a location, and we will add it to our list and add some enforcement.
Yeah, kind of the hot spots, if you would.
Right, right.
And that's what I was, that's what I had put out on Facebook. And again, when it's your neighborhood and you're there, it's magnified, of course. I was talking with somebody, here downtown on the square, and it was kind of like, we were talking the other day here by Community Corrections, and somebody just went speeding by and ran a yellow light or so, and it was broad daylight, and it was pretty rude and dangerous. And so we kind of joked that, ha ha, there's never a cop around when you need one. But I reminded them that this is our neighborhood, just like, you know, East Clinton is someone else's neighborhood. So it's always magnified here. And I told them, I said, you know, I didn't see any more cops when you guys were two blocks from the square. So I don't think anything's changed as far as that goes. But it seems like there's oftentimes when I am outside, we're talking people revving up their cars and literally just gunning it between stoplights. And I really think if there was a Frankfort City policeman, you know, patrolling the area, he would pull them over. I don't think they're not pulling them over, but it just
you can drive through Frankfort if there's a police officer. And that's the thing that, you know, I kind of would come back to those comments from some of those people, is you really can't commit a traffic violation. And if there's an officer around, you know, they're going to get stopped.
Right.
And so we want to focus on that. I mean, we are one of the youngest departments, and I would venture the country. You know, I've got 37 people. Only three of those 37 are eligible to retire. That means we're very young, very active, very proactive. The officers are out there. And sometimes they get bored, Kevin, sometimes because there isn't anything going on.
Right, right. Good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have for a community, you know, and as a chief, I get complaints from people, oh, I got pulled over for this or pulled over that. Well, because there's not something else going on, the officers do have more free time to conduct traffic enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, I think, sometimes is, yeah, we may not always write citations when we make a traffic stop. We don't want to get to where I can't make quotas. I can't make you know, officers write so many tickets a shift a month. That's, you know, that's against the law.
Right.
You know, we've tried that before back in, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I started. You know, you had to do, you know, three, you know, different contacts an hour. Mm-hmm. And we can't even do that in our extra traffic enforcement that we get funded through the state government.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, listen, we're dealing with, I've talked to some officers, hey, you know, why don't you write some speeding citations? And we're human. And so we're going to, you know, I had one officer say, you know, in this economy, this, when groceries are, you know, I mean, they look at it just as sometimes as a human, you know, we're not
yes.
robots. We're not out there writing everybody tickets. We know times are tough. And
yep.
so,
yep.
Yeah, So I think the message that gets out there is, hey, we could write you a $150, $180 traffic ticket, but we would like for you just to slow down. Mm-hmm. We'd like for you to just chill out and get to where you're going patiently and you know, leave a little early. But you know how it is. I mean, we're in a fast-paced world.
Right.
And you're living, unfortunately, you know, your area is the heaviest traveled, you know,
Absolutely.
Intersections in Frankfurt. And
right.
so, but I'll tell you this, you know, when we have complaints, for example, I had a complaint on Williams Road by Harvard Terrace and Kelly Road about a year or two ago. And so I went down there myself and, you know, I pulled over, the first car I pulled over, they lived down there. And so what we do notice
right.
Sometimes when we do targeted patrols, the people that we're pulling over live in that vicinity of where we're targeting.
In a hurry to get home.
And so, yeah, and that, so that's frustrating sometimes because, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, it's your neighborhood. You know, people need to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Wide open roads, people are ready to go.
Right.
And so, and that's, you know, and yeah, people want to blame us. And, you know, I don't know. I've, you know, I'm not a, I know I've made people mad in, you know, 18 years of public service. I'm not doubtful of that. And there are people who will find fault, you know, in anything that, you know, I may do or whatnot, but
right.
it is what it is. It's not about me. I want to make sure that people know that the officers are working. They're working, you know, we have GPS in our cars. I can, you know, I could show you a map of a car driving through Frankfurt for the last 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, it'd be a red glob.
Right. A lot of accountability.
They're working and yeah, they're going to take breaks like everybody else takes breaks. You know, sometimes we may park across from a school at school patrol just to get everybody to slow down. And they generally do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When they see us. And so, yeah, we're like I said, we're not without fault sometimes, but in this particular case, you know, it really boils down to we can't be everywhere. Yes, we could write 100 more traffic tickets a month, and then we'll just be getting, you know, we'll be getting the heat from the other side. So we'll find a happy medium, increase some of our enforcement. You know, we're doing what we're supposed to do. Like I said, maybe we just need to write a few more citations, and some of the people are complaining on there could be on one of those citations.
Right.
And but
right,
you know,
right, right,
that happens.
Another motive. One thing I've noticed a couple of times, and I saw somebody comment on this as well, is just a total disregard on top of the speeding and almost what I would classify as reckless driving, like burning out, Chief, like burning out, like revving up your engine, and then when the light turns green, you know, popping the clutch and squealing the tires. And I don't see a whole lot of that through the daytime, but that happens more often than not of a nighttime, you know, and it's oftentimes it's a couple people out doing it together.
Yeah, there's, you know, I'm sure there's a younger crew and they, you know, they're spending a lot more money on tires and brakes and all that.
Right.
And it's only cool to them. I don't understand it. I never have. We try to run people off, you know, Walmart will call or the high school will call, and we're running people off all the time that are doing these burnouts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it, you know, but if you commit an unsafe start or your system's not muffled correctly, there are opportunities for us to, you know, issue a citation.
That was another thing I was going to ask when it comes to vehicles. That's another thing that is really annoying, regardless of what your neighborhood is the correct, and I don't know what the answer is, what is correct and what isn't, or what's legal and what isn't, but these really loud mufflers that crack as the gears are shifted, as they go down the road, and it just, you know, it goes, and then it's a real loud crack and a pop, and it's just they'll rev those up and get those going. Is there some kind of regulation on that, and glass packs and some mufflers or no mufflers, or how does that work?
Yeah, I would have to study, other than having a muffler, and you know, you have to have a muffler to muffle the sound. So if you've made any alterations to the muffler, I would presume that is a violation. I would have to, you know, study that and make sure prosecutor's office agrees, and then we can ensure that that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any alterations.
Right.
That muffler could be the problem.
Right, absolutely. And I think there are aftermarket things you can purchase, you know, that keeps you legal, but I think sometimes there's some loud things you can purchase too, and again, maybe that's legal, but it's certainly annoying all hours of the day and night. And when we talk about cars, there's also trucks as well that, you know, can get down here and cause just as much noise. And it seems like they like doing it, setting at the stoplights, you know.
Well, your noise is going to be amplified because of the taller buildings too. And then I
assume
that makes it louder for them as well. So, you know, on a city
even more
street
fun.
Without, you know, tall buildings, it's, you know, it just goes out into the distance, and downtown,
yes,
it's going to echo off that and sound a lot cooler to them, I guess.
Right. Yeah, finally on this, it was with the Facebook posting, I was just so surprised at the different locations of where people, and mine was a very innocent post. I wasn't trying to start anything, but people, oh, they treat this road like a racetrack and that too. And it was just all over town, Chief. And then you get a few people on there saying, well, Al, we see them sitting out there at the fairgrounds and stuff. And I wasn't saying that, and I would never say that. And I think most normal, respectful people know that police are out there not watching movies, and you know, like you said, they take breaks too, and they park in good spots, and we all slow down. But
it's a lot of speeding
around town.
I just got back from Boston for the International Chiefs of Police Association conference, and let me tell you, there are no street rules out there. I mean,
yeah.
Horns, you know, I had to wear earplugs to sleep at night, provided by the hotel, sleep machines, just constant, like, it sounded like motorcycles racing, horns. They live on the horn out there.
Wow.
People cutting you off as you're trying to cross into a crosswalk. I mean, things that are big city stuff, but, you know, when I come back home, I'm just so glad to get back home because,
yeah,
you know, it does appear to be fast paced, but I'm telling you, outside of here, you know,
it's really
it's even worse.
Pace.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, Indianapolis deals with a hit and run of a pedestrian, it seems, every other night.
Yes.
On the news, you know, mm-hmm, people trying to cross on a walk and somebody hits them, hit and runs like crazy. And so it may be bad, and that's perspective of the people that, you know, it is going to be worse for the people that are bringing it up. And I don't mean to say, hey, it's worse somewhere else, or it's, you know,
right.
I'm saying is it could be a lot worse. I'm just, you know, I just want to point out that, and what our study is that we're not chasing murders around town, and crime is going to happen. A murder is going to happen, you know,
mm-hmm,
homicide is going to happen, a sexual assault is going to happen. And, you know, and we may not solve it. And so, you know, we're not perfect, but, you know, there's a lot. If you notice, out of those 330, 318, whatever the reportable crime numbers, if you add those reportable crime numbers that actually get reported to the FBI, you know, compare that to the 8,000 calls that we're doing. So that leads one to wonder, what else are we getting called to,
mm-hmm,
that maybe not even be police related at all? We get a lot of calls, you know, that when in doubt, you call the police.
Right.
The police
right.
may not be able to, you know, they think that we handle everything. And so they're busy. We've had to add additional staffing because of the annexation. But we take we're at 8,000 something calls. But if we've only had 300 reportable crimes, you know, that doesn't include every actual crime. These are the federal government's mandated, you know, reportable crimes. Yeah, every year. But so they're busy, but to do the kind of traffic stops that they're doing and not sitting somewhere, not, you know, they are going to be on station. I do. Everybody should want their officers to be healthy and physically and mentally. You know, we do encourage people to work out on duty. So, yeah, you may see their car. And don't think that the cars there are always on duty. We do have extra cars. We
mm-hmm.
do have cars that are being just for delivered that need to be outfitted to be on the road. So just because you see a police car at the station doesn't mean that we're actually using that, you know,
yeah,
that
that's
car.
A good point. That's a good point.
So I want people to understand that. And we have not seen any change in response times or our ability to respond to crimes because of our building location and because of annexation. You know, we're going out to the interstate now. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen any major problems in terms of not being able to, you know, I talked to a friend who works in a department down in the Hendricks County area, and, you know, they're 8 to 10 calls behind. And our goal is, as soon as the call's coming out, an officer's in route. Mm-hmm. And we're still able to do that, you know, especially emergency calls. And so it's
very fortunate.
You know, not to, I don't want to dumb down people's complaints, because they are, those complaints are, people are driving, you know, like morons sometimes. They're committing violations of, you know, and it may not be worth, you know, slapping their wrist with a citation. Just cut it, you know, try to cut it out. But, you know, people just, they got the coolest, biggest truck, or they've got the fastest car, and they're going to show you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
you just have to, like you said, be there at the right time. I think, you know, we always say, man, I wish you were a police officer when you need one.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But that's, again, that's, you know, if I have four officers on duty in this city our size, mm-hmm. It's a needle in a haystack.
Right, right. Well, another good point, I think, is you was talking about the response time with the new location. Oftentimes, I think it's important for people to realize as well, if I'm not mistaken, I think I've heard you speak before about how your officers work in quadrants almost sometimes. So if they get a call, it's not like they have to leave from the Frankfort Police Department out there on 28 and drive to a location. You probably have an officer relatively close.
Yeah, I mean, we are, you know, it's like I said, we're a medium-sized police department and you know, but a small city feel. And so you can be anywhere. Granted, you know, traffic, and we want our officers to drive safe, you know, to an emergency call. I don't want people hurt from us as we're traveling somewhere, or my officers hurt. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get there. But you know, today, I mean, there was a call in, I think, the 300 block of West Wabash Street, which is a hop and skip jump from the police department, report of a man with a knife, and, you know, the deputy chief rolling out and the captain, and they got there, you know, pretty quick too. So right. It could, you can't be in the best spot all the time.
Right.
But the quickness of somebody responding, and we have partners, you know, the sheriff's office is going to, you know, major emergencies. We're going to have other departments such as them to help us pretty quickly as well.
I wanted to move on, Chief, to something that you had given me a heads up on the other day, and this is part of continuing education and a hope of becoming accredited through a certain group. You guys had some visitors recently. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, 18 months ago, we talked about looking at it being accredited through the Indiana Law Enforcement Accreditation Commission. I'm sorry, and they there's about 15 or 16 police departments that have been accredited by them. And basically, what that means is, what's normally a 3-year process, and you just go from front to back, every little policy procedure, how you can, you know, handle records, how you handle cash, how you handle where you're putting evidence when you find it, and all that other stuff. And so we have basically taken what we were doing, which wasn't bad, but we've been able to take it and elevate it to the best practice. What's the best practice in law enforcement, how to handle different things? And so Captain Hall, Evan Hall, and Captain Brady Sorrells have been working on every procedure, policy. We've been, again, 18-month process. And so yesterday we had representatives from the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, Anderson Police Department, Lebanon Police Department, and came to the police department, and, you know, we gave them a tour of every room in our building. We mm-hmm. went through every standard and policy that we have that we're looking to adhere to become accredited. And so the good news is we have about a half a page of notes of things that we need to work on for our official assessment in December. And we're hoping that we join, the ranks of those who have been accredited through Indiana Law Enforcement Accreditation, and hopefully announce it to the community. I think we'll know in January if we've satisfied every standard.
And did you have a couple captains or detectives who had worked specifically on this and put a lot of time and effort into this?
Yeah, Captain Evan Hall and Captain Brady Sorrells have, on top of their duties of running both of their divisions, have added accreditation. And as far as policy goes, I work with them on drafting policy or editing policy throughout those 18 months. And it's been a lot of work. After yesterday's mock assessment, I told them to not talk about accreditation for 3 days. Let's talk about it. Let's go through the list on Monday of what we need to do to drive it home for December, and we'll go from there.
And having a half page to work on is better than having a page and a half to work on.
Absolutely. I think our officers, there have been some changes, not a major. I mean, they're already doing the things that they're supposed to do, just a little bit more documentation. I mean, we're, in our police reports that, our body camera was activated, which it's supposed to be, but we never wrote that in our police report. We're adding, that's a little thing, to add a body worn camera's been activated, to making sure that we're searching cars and our own police cars to make sure there's nothing in it left behind from somebody else that might be accused to be to the next person we put in there. So we're just going above and beyond what is required. And the reason I wanted to become accredited is because I think eventually law enforcement is going to be required to be accredited. I want to get ahead of the pack. And I think even the federal grants that we've received over the last 2 years have had a caveat in there regarding accreditation. So it's coming on a federal level, state level. It's one of those police reform ideas is accreditation. And so we just want to get in and get out of the way because it's been a lot of work to get there, even working with the agencies and partners, because there's not a lot of people out there doing it. And so you have to really, create a new path for it. And we rely heavily on other police departments who have been accredited, and they've been great to share information with us.
I have to ask you, you had mentioned a moment ago about a couple weeks or maybe a month ago, you went to Boston for the Association of Chiefs or Police Chiefs, I guess. Mm-hmm. I always loved conferences when I've worked in radio and I get a chance to go and share ideas and thoughts and get these new, fresh ideas maybe that I hadn't thought of and something I could bring back to my radio station and try. Did you, were you able to pull one or two or three things away from that?
Well, one class I went to told me things not to say. And because I say a lot. And just, I think it taught me just to, I read the comments over the weekend and people shared it. My father-in-law sent it to me and I'm like, yeah, I see it. And so I just calmly I don't want to attack the person. I just want to, kind of look at the situation. So we did. Yeah. That was one major thing for me, was to slow down and maybe not overreact. And I hope, I did that this time, but, there was about 70 of us from Indiana and we all, got together and talked about different things going on in other departments. The vendor list was huge, looking at the different things going on, in that technology world. It's crazy AI and license plate readers, all these things that, that are coming. And, AI to me, I think it's going to be a bad thing. When you see people using it for scamming people out, using their voice to scam people out of money and that kind of thing. So I'm interested on how our country progresses, our world progresses with that. But yeah, you're right. Just getting, the training is, the classes, there's so many classes because it's such a large conference, 17,000 attendees from all over the world in law enforcement. So there's 15 to 20 classes at a time, and you just got to pick one that sounds really interesting to get to. And so That
great.
Was nice to learn a little bit. But, yeah, I agree. I think training's important. I think that's the other thing. We're, you know, I think we're over 6,000 hours of training, you know, for our department, which people don't know. I don't know if they think that's a lot or not, but to get every officer, the annual training is only 24 hours. It's required by the state of Indiana for a police officer. Hmm. And if we're doing, you know, on average of 80 to 120 per employee, I'd say we're making sure we have a highly trained, you know, police department
to
put
average,
out there on the street. So, you know, I know we're doing great things. I know the employees are doing great things. People may not always see it that way. I mean, we're the police, and you know, I think we're the only people in the world telling people no anymore. So we will take we'll take a lot of heat for that. But yeah, if people, like I said, if they have a complaint about a specific location, feel free to reach out. We will add it to our list that gets dedicated patrols, not just a drive-through type patrol. We'll actually, you know, try some things to get people to slow down. But, you know, I hate to break it. You know, people know when, you know, the cat's away, the mice will play, right?
Right, absolutely.
And so we may hit it for a day or two, a week or two, and people will slowly realize we've then moved on.
Right, right.
And so that's the cycle that I have to deal with in trying to keep people happy with us, because people will do whatever they want. They will speed and hopefully they don't get caught.
Right. That's a constant challenge. Chief, before I let you go, tonight is Halloween and trick or treat. What can you tell us as our Frankfort police chief?
Well, we want people to, like I said, again, it comes always back to driving, and we're going to be a lot of children and parents out walking across streets, crossing an intersection, and sometimes kids dart in front to get across to something that's exciting or the other side, and I need people to slow down tonight and pay attention. If you don't like a lot of traffic tonight, it's not the night to be out, you know, because you just need to slow down and make sure that you're not going to hit somebody. And really, you know, we talk about wearing reflective stuff, and nobody really does that. And, you know, on Halloween, right. You know, your costume, it may not be, you know, in your mind appropriate for you to wear some reflective type vest or sleeve when you're out. But so we just need people to pay attention, and we want people to have fun, especially in the downtown. And I know there's a lot of people, you know, that wish we could get back to people like actually going down neighborhoods and knocking on doors with lights on and trick or treating.
Right.
And that's fine. I think we got away from that when I was a kid, to trunk or treats and, you know, mm-hmm. fixed location type things. And so, yeah, I'd like to see more people going throughout the neighborhoods and knocking on, you know, doors and that have the lights on and get some candy.
All right, Frankfort Police Chief Scott Shoemaker. Chief, always appreciate you talking to me, and we'll catch you down the road soon, I'm sure.
All right, stay safe. Thanks.